The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is August 26, 2014, and we are sponsored by Fiorello Barbell Company here in upstate New York, where we're not the biggest, but we're the best. And our motto is, we don't try, we succeed. Today is Tuesday, obviously, and Tuesday we have our guest, Roger LaPointe, who's president of Atomic Athletic. And our good friend of the show, he does a weekly show with us. Today we're going to talk about one of my favorites, York Iron Boots, who were the innovators of, I guess they used to call them the Iron Sandal, or the, Roger can give us more on that, but they were called the Sandal in its day, and it's a very interesting piece of equipment, and it's kind of become prominent again from what Roger's telling me with MMA. So, with no further ado, I want to introduce Roger LaPointe. Welcome to the show, Rog.
Thank you, Eric. Glad to be here.
You're welcome. I'm glad you're here. You know, if you can just give a short thing, why don't you pop out your website and a little bit about you, and we'll get started right on this.
Okay. I'm Roger LaPointe, and the business is Atomic Athletic. You can find us at atomicathletic.com. That's AtomicAthletic.com. We've been around since 1999, so 15 years at this point. And, you know, we've got the blog that you can hit at the top of the front page, and you've got my Atomic Athletic Bombproof Bulletin email newsletter, which is also 15 years old. On the lower left that you can sign up for, and that's free. So,
well, I mean, you got some stuff there, and obviously we're working hard to get this podcast cooking out there, which it is, we want to help each other business-wise and obviously educate people. And what I was telling, I had T-Rex on last night, the feedback we're getting is pretty damn good, and it's nice to see that, you know, we're having an effect on people now, and I appreciate you coming on with me and spreading the word and everybody else here. So let's get started.
Yep.
Well, let's talk about Iron Boots. Why don't you give us a little bit of history, being that you formerly worked for York, so I would assume you're going to have quite a bit of knowledge with these. So let's hit the road running.
Yep.
There,
okay.
Raj.
I genuinely fell in love with Iron Boots in 1997. I was working for the York Barbell Company, and Smitty and I had just finished doing a demo for a bunch of strength coaches. And what we would do is I would do the lifting, Smitty would do the talking, and it was primarily Olympic lifting stuff, which was unusual at that time. At that time, if people don't remember, or maybe they were too young, it was, the world of weightlifting was all about machines.
Mm-hmm.
So, packing up, loading the truck back up, I slipped on some ice, of all things, not lifting, just slipped on some black ice, and yep. Blew the meniscus on my right knee. Okay. It swelled up, it hurt, and I went to the doctor. I was lucky enough that my family doctor in York, Pennsylvania, happened to be a former college decathlete who actually specialized in the javelin. And
wow.
He was well aware of what York was and who Smitty was. And he said, well, looks like you've got a torn meniscus. We're going to wait for the swelling to go down. When the swelling goes down, I want you to have Smitty rehab it. And I said, Smitty. Smitty's not a physical therapist. And he said, he says, you're right. And in your case, you're in luck because you need to ask him about Lee James. And I said, well, I know who Lee James was. Smitty trained him. He was a 1976 gold silver medal winner at 198. And, you know, he was only beaten by Riegert.
Who, oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, he gets stuck in Riegert's class. You know?
Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah. Oh, man.
So he took silver to Riegert. Yep. And he says, yeah, you need to talk to him about his knee injury. Mm-hmm. And just have him rehab your meniscus the way he did Lee James. I said, okay.
Wow.
Well, I'm talking to Smitty, and he says, ah, get yourself some iron boots.
Yep.
And I said, iron boots? What are you talking about? He says, we sell them here. Get the iron boots, find one of the old courses with Grimmick on the cover, and we're going to do that. I said, you mean you're going to have me lift weights to rehab a blown knee?
Blown out knee, basically.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't have any tendons that had blown
right,
out.
Right, right.
It was just the meniscus. And right. They've since found that in some cases, if it's not blown badly enough, it'll completely heal or almost completely heal. In my case, it actually almost completely healed. You know, it still clicks a little bit, but I think that's...
We all do, Rod. You know that.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I was doing snatches and clean and jerks and all that kind of thing Sunday, and I'm going to do them tonight.
Sure.
But, you know, and this is, what, almost 20 years later. So,
great.
Long and the short of it is, the doctor said, when I went back in, told him what I was doing, he says, great. So what's going to happen is we're going to hold off on doing any surgery because it's not bad enough to require surgery right now, and the surgery might do more damage than good. So you either need to blow it out worse.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
To justify the surgery, or right. Smitty's going to do everything that can possibly be done. I said, great. I am not a fan of surgery. Don't cut on me.
No, I agree with you, man.
I've rarely seen people who elected to have surgery instead of having the doctor say, yeah, we've got to reattach this arm here.
Yeah.
You know,
let's start cutting.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. I have never had surgery on that knee, knock on wood, or formica, whatever my desk is here. But what Smitty did is the classic course, and I've got one sitting in front of me. It's an original. I think I just sold my last one that I'm going to sell.
Well, let me ask you this quick. Is that the one that I've got that's got – it's blue and white, and I can't remember who's on the – okay.
Yeah, that's Grimmick doing bicycles.
That's Grimmick, okay.
On the cover. 1943.
Again, is that what it was? Yep. Because I got that from you years ago.
Yep.
And that's got some different exercises, obviously, in it too, like the straddle hops and all that. Mm-hmm. And basically, Bob Hoffman, here's something I never forgot. He said – a man is only as strong as his legs, basically, and he'll go into detail where he'll tell you that, look at any of the great boxers and stuff, early 30s, they're finished. They still got the will and everything, but their legs are gone, and that was the proponent of using the iron boots. But go on. I mean, I've read that book so many times. That thing is a wealth of knowledge. If you don't have any of those, you got to get some because we got to push those out. People love them, man.
Yeah.
All right. So now you're talking to Smitty. Now we've got to put a program together to start rehabbing that knee.
Let me tell the listeners what an iron boot is. Because you and I have been using them for years, but I get people who look at them on my website and they say, oh, it's a black sandal-looking thing. Do I run in it? And I get that a lot. People think they're supposed to run in their iron boots. And
good luck, man.
Yeah, good luck. You'd be like Frankenstein, and you'd probably end up blowing out your knee or something.
Or you'd fall and break your neck, because I've done that before and, like, tripped with them and stuff.
Yeah, they're not for walking around in.
Yeah, no.
Basically, the Iron Boot is a cast iron sandal. It's a one-size-fits-all thing. It's just got a heel cup and two straps. And there is a hole that goes laterally through the base so that you can slide a dumbbell bar and put plates on the left and right side of your foot. Now, the ones that I sell also have sort of a hole in the toe area as well. And that's kind of a neat thing because, like Eric said, I've got a lot of MMA guys and martial arts guys who have gotten the Iron Boots because the Iron Boot concept has been used in any number of traditional martial arts forms. Most prominently, in Hojo Undo training for Okinawan karate. Mm-hmm. And Hojo Undo simply means supplementary training. The Okinawan karate guys were big on strength training to help their martial arts. So that old concept where martial artists don't do strength training,
right?
That's BS that somehow people picked up over here because God knows why. When I met the Shaolin monks at the Shaolin USA headquarters, and I asked them about, why they didn't have stone balls and stone padlocks over here. I said, it was just because you couldn't bring them from China. And they said, no, we could have them made here. It's just, we don't, and I, why not? They said, well, it's kind of our secret training, and I have a feeling that's more what it's about. And they use them here now. They use mine, all that sort of thing. It's the old thing. We've got our secrets. We're going to keep them. But in our modern world where we have this thing called the internet, it's hard to keep a secret. So those guys are training people on that stuff, and the Okinawans are, and it's really opened up the world, and it's a great thing. So, those old ideas are coming back, and some of the old ideas of keeping secrets are disappearing, and they're just trying to make the best athletes today.
Definitely.
So you've got your Iron Boots, and what do you do with them now? Well, think of the various machines that you're used to. You go to a commercial gym, and a commercial leg extension machine that's got good biomechanics, it's highly adjustable, all that sort of thing, it's going to run you about $2,000.
Yep.
Well, maybe you can get a plate-loaded version from somebody like Hammer Strength that's still good, and that's going to be $1,500. Okay, pair of Iron Boots going to run you $59.95. And now you've got dumbbells for your feet, okay? And people ask me, well, why would I use Iron Boots versus a room full of machines other than the price? I say, well, why would you use dumbbells instead of a room full of machines except for the price?
Exactly.
And it's exactly the same thing. It's free weights versus machines. So, when you're using your Iron Boots, you're going to probably use a little less weight than your machine. Exercise is similar, just like dumbbells versus machines, because it's a real weight. It's a free weight. You've got all those you're not moving through a prescribed range of motion that's dictated by the machine. So you've got to work in all those supplementary muscles, ligaments, and tendons for stabilization and all that stuff that everybody talks about making free weights great. So some of the exercises that are very basic you can think of is sit on a bench, do a leg extension.
Right.
Well, do you just do one leg at a time? Not necessarily. You can do leg extensions with short dumbbell bars added. Mm-hmm. You can do them, of course, empty. The boots weigh about 5 pounds apiece.
Right.
You can use short bars. You can use long bars. With the longest bar that we sell, that same 20-inch dumbbell bar that we were talking about for doing heavy dumbbell benches, connect your boots together. That's how they did it in the old York gym. They had a pair there that were essentially permanently connected together with a longer bar. So you could do both legs at the same time, and your leg extensions, leg curls, leg presses are a little bit more difficult connected together, but not a bad exercise. And you can do some abdominal work with them like that, and you can do reverse hypers. I know a lot of power lifters and throwers are really big on the reverse hyper type movement. For those of you unfamiliar, basically think of, and I think I've got a picture of me doing this on one of the bulletins in the blog. Basically, I will take a pair of iron boots, and I've sold a kit like this forever. I call it my workout in a backpack.
Yep.
And I have just a pair of iron boots. I have a, I think it's an inch and a half diameter rope with an eye splice on it on one end. And that's it. And I throw the rope in this old military backpack. And the rope is the padding for my back. And the iron boots. I jog half a mile to the local elementary school where my son now goes. And I use their playground equipment to do a variety of different exercises. What I'll do is I'll do 5 bodyweight exercises, 5 iron boot exercises, and then 5 rope-based exercises.
Right.
And then I'll jog back home. And it's a quick 20-minute workout if I've got – if that's all I can do that day.
Right,
And the weather's halfway decent. But, you know, I will do one of my favorite exercises is a hanging leg curl. Basically, you go – you put your iron boots on. You don't even need to add weight. Grab the chin-up bar. And you do your leg curls hanging at the end of your workout. And, yeah, it's only 10 pounds for a leg curl. That's all you really need for that exercise because
– it's a different lift too. Let's, you know, tell everybody, I mean, you know, using a machine or using those 10 pounds on those things feel a lot more than 10 pounds.
Oh, yeah. The most I've ever heard of anybody doing any iron boot exercise with is there were some guys that lifted at Westside Gym who bought a pair. And they're the ones who told me about doing the reverse hypers with the iron boots and connecting them. They had an old standard size barbell, you know, a 5-footer. Took the rod, put them through, connected them, and, you know, so they were calling me, and I said, this is great. I learned something from you guys. I never thought of doing that exercise with iron boots. Makes total sense. You've turned it into a free weight exercise.
Absolutely.
And how much weight are you doing? They said, oh, you know, we're only doing 200 pounds.
Whoa!
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Come again? What?
And
they said, oh, that's you know, we're kind of big guys. Where are you at? Oh, we're at this gym called Westside Gym in Columbus. Have you heard of it? And I said, yeah, of course I've heard of it. You know, and they said, well, you know, it's not like what we do with the machine. It's a lot harder than the machine, but we love using the free weights for it. I said, great.
Yeah.
So why are you calling except to do a humble brag or something like that?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to stick it right in your eye.
Yeah, exactly. And what's the call for? And they said, well, we've worn out the straps.
Oh, yeah.
I said, oh, okay. They said, your straps were fine. They lasted us several months, you know, basically like shoelaces. But we want some that are heavier duty and just complete overkill.
Yep.
I said, well, any kind of a strap I think is going to be less than overkill if you're doing 200-pound reverse diapers.
Absolutely.
But let me get to work on this and see what I can do. And that's when I came up with the heavy-duty iron boot straps.
Exactly.
And actually that 20-inch bar. That 20-inch bar originally wasn't for dumbbells. It was for dumbbells for your feet.
Right.
Because that's all you need is 20 inches on that sounds
yeah. Well, that's
that
good
like
if you got 20.
All you
me.
Need is 20 inches,
this,
honey.
Remember, this is a G-rated show here, man.
Sorry,
I'm
about
only
that.
Kidding. No, I'm only kidding. It doesn't matter. I mean, we're careful. You know what I wanted to, you know, I wanted to tell you too is I always like doing where you're doing them where you go left right with your hips. Like I'll lean against the garage, you know, raise my right hip as high as I can. Same way, you know, on the left too.
What I find
with them that's real interesting is this. Obviously, you can use the rod, but I'll tell you what, the 10 pounds, no matter what exercise you do. Now, I like laying flat in the driveway when I do a lot of things. I'll do a single leg raise. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll get up like on my elbows, not in a wrestler's bridge, but similar to that, and lift one leg at a time. That's pretty strenuous on you right there because obviously you're hitting not only your abdominals, but you're hitting, you know, the front of the thigh and everything else. And while I'm at it too, if you got any of those pictures of you using those and you would like to send them to me, I'd like to put those up on the blog tomorrow we're going to have this up in a few days anyways. But
for the
getting back,
listeners who are into seeing old fantastic pictures, one of my sort of heroes is Abby Pudgy Stockton.
Oh, yeah.
I have some really great photos of her using iron boots. She was a huge proponent. And
you know what I like about her? Not only did she look strong, she was real feminine.
Yes.
And very curvaceous and not to the point where it's like either way too much or she looks like she's been starved for the last 10 years.
She had a personal training studio where many of the Hollywood starlets went. And I think she died less than 10 years ago, maybe 5 years ago. And
I
understand
that.
She trained many Hollywood people, men and women, almost to the point to the end of her life. She had this little studio and she had everything that you needed in there. I remember seeing an interview of her in it and, she knew her stuff and stayed active her entire life. So I'll send you some of those too.
That'd be great because I'd love to get those up, but let's talk about the injury that you had, the reconstruction of the knee. Now let's get right into what you did. I mean, people are probably going to want to know, well, rep ranges, obviously, but one thing we know about these iron boots are injury or not, they will make, I mean, the name's perfect. They will make your body, your whole body, but especially your lower half, it will be like a piece of iron. So if you don't mind, Raj, let's go into, all right, so we'll catch everybody up. You went to Smitty.
It's actually a very simple routine.
But you know, something simple is the best.
It really He is. And in this case, what Smitty had me do is start off with trying to do all of the exercises in the course in a single workout, up to 10 repetitions. And you've got that course, so
I've got it. You know, all right. So you warm up. What's the first exercise you'd do?
I actually would do knee raises, which a standing knee raise.
Okay.
Where you know you use one foot, and it's not in this wall chart because I'm looking at that original wall chart that you're familiar with, Eric. But I saw it somewhere else where a guy would use a broomstick without the broom. You know, I always had one in the gym for Olympic lifting, for stretching my shoulders. But you stand with the broomstick as stability, almost like a cane. And the other leg, you just do a knee raise as high as you can and bring it back down. But you've got the iron boot on there. The, that is a very easy on the knee exercise. The leg extension is much harder. So he had me start with that one and then doing a standing leg curl. Well, when you're doing any of these standing exercises, it's a fantastic thing because it's a free weight. So you want to work to the point where you don't have to have extra stability of that broomstick there or holding on to a piece of, you know, your lap machine or something like that. You want to be able to stand there. So there's a fantastic balance issue in the other side of the body that's not actually doing the weightlifting. But I basically do that York course number leg course number two, which has – there's 5, 10 exercises. And we got to the point of doing that, and Smitty was adamant that I do a lot of inner and outer thigh work. You know, guys have seen these at the commercial gyms, and they're guys almost never use the inner and outer thigh machines.
Girls do.
Girls use them all the time. And, you know,
martial arts people do a lot, too. I mean, the, I've seen my experience with that.
The really thinking martial arts guys will. And I ended up developing a set for myself of iron boots, much like a lot of the martial arts guys end up putting together, where you have actually almost a – you can put together a whole dumbbell rack full of iron boots. Where it, you know, some exercises are single boot exercises. Some of them you want to have little short bars so you can keep your feet close together. Like an isolateral reverse hyper is tremendous. And let me tell you, if you're adding a pair of 10-pound plates with the bar and collars to your iron boots and doing isolateral reverse hypers, you're the man. Let me tell you. That's hard work.
It is. Let me tell you something, and I do. Let me ask you something before I go into this. These exercises that you perfected, do you have anything out with that?
Yeah.
So you have a course and pictures of that stuff?
Yeah.
Well, I just want to know, because if you didn't, we got to put something together for that.
What I do is – the weightlifting industry is funny.
Yes, it is.
Everybody wants cheap.
Yep.
And I understand that. I don't want to throw money away either. But in the development of the modern barbell company, almost everything comes from China today.
Yes, it does.
And there was an evolution there in the history of barbell companies where York had Strength and Health magazine that they published. To some extent, it was a bold-faced, out-and-out advertisement for the company.
Absolutely.
But they had tons of content in there. In the 1940s, before there were any leg machines out there, they didn't even have leg extension machines yet, you had iron boots. And almost every issue of Strength and Health in the 1940s somehow showed exercises with iron boots. They would work it in some way. Some would be just whole courses of iron boot exercises. And Weider did the same thing. The Good Brothers did it. Every one of these old companies, Roger Eales, all these companies had iron boots because it was another thing to cast. You had a cast iron foundry, and once that foundry gets going, you need to keep it going until you shut down for the day. So if you had a mold for iron boots and a mold for kettlebell handles and a mold for dumbbells, you know, you would run as much as you could. And because the iron's pouring. So, and I used to give tours of the York Barbell Foundry to my international clients. It was really, to see a working foundry is an impressive.
Yeah, it's impressive, man.
It's neat. And that would make a big impact. So, as prices of cast iron went down, because there were a number of innovations in the manufacturing of cast iron in the last 100 years. So as that price went down, and it stabilized at a low price, how could the companies make their things even cheaper? Well, then they started eliminating the free course that came with the boots. Okay, so no free course with the boots. Now you've got to buy our magazine to find the exercises. Well, how can we make it even cheaper? Well, it's a lump of cast iron, so we can't make that cheaper. Let's make the straps cheaper. So you probably remember this, Eric, because you didn't you buy your first iron boots from me at York?
I got three pairs of iron boots from you from York, and then I think I bought a pair of Ivankos from you years ago because what the situation was, the early ones, my feet were too big, so you could see how people
The York ones had a very narrow feet.
Very small. They're early era, and they had it was like it was almost like picture a screw turning in to hold them, and that was no good. And then obviously they cheaped out on the straps. And I'll tell you one of my biggest pet peeves about that. And anybody that's got them, get the straps from Roger. They will not come off. I know you had this had to happen too. You'd put those straps on as tight as you could, and by God, I'd do maybe 2 to 3 reps, say, of a leg curl, and they'd fall off. And nothing pisses you off more than that when you're in the heat of battle and they're you know, you can feel them wiggling off you. And I'm like, come on. So I'm glad you did that because that's essential to success with these. And one thing I just want to tell you while we're still here, and I don't want to forget this when you're talking with ISOs and stuff. I want to tell you something I do with them, which I think probably you've done them, but maybe not. And anybody out here that's never tried it, what I'll do. Is I'll get on. I got a, you know, I got a good York bench. Obviously, I got from you years ago. I'll set the rods at a certain height I want.
Did you
maybe
get that
half
flex bench, the one that has the adjustable?
It's got the incline in it too. This thing's a beast, man. It's like this thing is heavier than shit to even pick up. All right, and you want to talk about sitting on something that doesn't budge? You could put. I mean, I've inclined with logs on that thing loaded, and that thing doesn't even. I mean. You would never have to worry about a bench collapsing under you with this thing, okay? This is serious stuff. This was back when you were at York. I got this from you. But I'll tell you what. I'll tell you something that you might want to try if you've never done it. So what you're going to do then is you're going to take an Olympic bar and put it across the rods, and you're going to have to – I take bungee cords and I tie this thing down, hook it to the holes in the rack so the bar cannot move. I'll either lay on my belly or lay on my back, have your iron boots on, bring your legs up, and push up against the Olympic bar. And I'm going to tell you, man, you want to talk about having a set of legs on you? Do your leg curl like that and do an isometric push with it and hold it and see what happens. So that's my little thing that I don't know if you've ever done that or you've done something similar to that, but it works. Let me put it to you that way.
No, I've never done that exact exercise.
Try that. I'm telling you, if you know what the cool thing about it is, Raj, is this. The bar's locked in there so it can't move, all right? You're on a good, solid bench. Obviously, you can set those rods at any height you want. So, you know, we're talking about running the rod through the center. And I remember Grimmick, they were saying, was one of the guys that could handle the most weight, you know, up to where you were talking to.
The rumor is he did no leg work for 2 years.
Wow. Did iron boots.
Yeah, leading to when I say no leg work, he did no barbell leg work.
Correct.
Now, I'm sure he was doing Olympic lifts, but he was a splitter. He wasn't a squatter.
Yeah.
His idea of no leg work was doing Olympic lifting, split style, and then using the iron boots instead.
Yeah. Well, people don't understand. See, here's the big pluses with iron boots. And you really have to give them a go like anything. And, you know, all right, so you're used to squatting 500, 600, 700, 800, whatever you're using, all right? And it's going to be the same thing all the time. I don't care who you are. Well, am I going to get smaller? No, you're not going to get smaller, because here's the deal. Here's a way if you want to really specialize on something. And I've done this before, and it works. I'll sit and do a stand, obviously, and I'll do this maybe for 2, 3, 4 weeks if I feel like I'm getting stale with stuff. I love doing Heist Shrugs. That's a show you and I are going to do, too. JC Heist, baby. I'm Mark Berry, all those. We could do, I bet Roger and I could do 10 shows of those guys. I mean, basic, heavy. This is what I said to Brooks the other day, Roger, and I've said it to you how many times. I am sick of hearing about all the other crap, and it's not crap. If you want to do it, do it. How come we don't talk about basic, you know, that's what I was saying. Stuff that's just basic movements, heavy, you know, that just throttle you. And this is what I want to do with you and Brooks. Well, and when John McKean comes on, we had already talked about that.
Here's a heavy movement for your iron boots. Because I get guys saying, well, you can't do anything heavy with iron boots. Well, obviously the guys at Westside Barbell can. But here's one that – a martial arts guy would do, okay?
Yep.
And I get guys saying, well, martial arts guys don't go heavy. Really? Because there are some pro guys out there. There's one kickboxer that's a pro in Vegas that I don't know if he listens to the podcast, but we've met. Okay. Angelo, you know who I'm talking about. Anyway.
I hope he does start to listen.
Oh, he's a huge fan. He actually has a set of iron boots that I think he's got 8 pair of iron boots, something
Holy
like that.
Cow.
And he's got them semi-permanently set up in different configurations.
Yeah.
So that – and realize he's a professional kickboxer.
Sure.
He's a – I don't know if he'd be called a flyweight or what he is, about 125 pounds, and maybe he's taller than me at 5'3.5", maybe not, but I've probably got 30 pounds on him off season. And the guy looks like a whipcord. I told him about this exercise because I saw it on a documentary years ago on PBS. Guy went to Thailand to learn Muay Thai from the Thai guys. And he's an American who had been doing karate, okay, and decided he was going to learn actual Muay Thai and compete against those guys.
Wow.
That's absolutely nuts, because if you know anything about that. But he did it, and he had this documentary that he did. And here he is training in a jungle, and this little tiny 12-year-old Thai kickboxer takes a rope. I'll never forget seeing this. He took a rope and tied a barbell plate to the bottom of his foot.
Wow.
Okay?
Yep.
And there was a picnic table, just like you would see at any park, right? Wooden picnic table under this sort of wooden canopy thing like you might see at any park that had their heavy bags hanging from it and stuff like that. And he puts the foot that had the weight tied to the bottom, touching the ground, the other foot's on the picnic table bench. And basically, he starts doing step-ups that are actually Thai knee strikes.
Yep.
Okay? So he's stepping up with one leg, pretty high step-up, too. I mean, his leg was definitely beyond – his upper leg was beyond parallel.
Okay.
Because, like I said, this was a small Thai guy. And what looked like a normal size picnic table for the guy doing the documentary, who I'm guessing he was 6 feet tall. I don't know. He looked easily a foot taller than most of these boxers.
Sure.
So he's basically doing a step up explosively with one leg, except that there's a weight tied to the bottom of his other foot to make that explosive knee strike even harder. So this isn't just a knee raise. This is an explosive strike with as much power as you know that those Thai guys do.
Sure.
So there are a number of MMA guys out there now that when you see them doing these just absolutely devastating strikes in the cage, it's because they're using iron boots that they got from me. And I am, you know, I'm a squatter, I'm a lifter. I did some martial arts when I was younger, but I'm not a martial artist. But I will use 2 10-pound plates on each side of the boot. Okay?
Yeah.
So if you've got a 5-pound boot, you've got the bar and the collars, and I do the 15-inch bar, which is my normal size one. If guys are looking on the website, it's the IBKB bar set. But I've actually got a black oxide version now that I've got to get up on the site.
Okay.
If somebody wants that, they can call in or something, or maybe it'll be up the next time you look. But I use the Allen collars, those little collars, slide them in right next to the boot. So I don't have to re-find center, and it just gives that much more stability. Have the plates pressed against those, against that. So I've got 2 10-pounders on each side of the boot.
Right.
And then I use Allen collars on the outside, too, because they're a constrictor collar that isn't going to move. It is what it is. And so what do we have? We've got about 5 pounds for the bar. We got 5 pounds for the boot. And then we've got 40 pounds in plate. So that's 50 pounds on one foot. And compared to these MMA guys that you see fighting in the ring, some of those guys are putting – they just start off with 25-pound plates for that particular exercise. So I don't know how heavy – they're going, a lot of those guys won't say. But the key, if you think of somebody who's got a rack set up like that, the reason they do that is they don't have to take the time to reconfigure their boot setup.
Right.
Just like using pro-style dumbbells versus all kinds of plate loading configurations where you have to take time in between sets to change the weights and that kind of thing. Well, with iron boots, you know, he told me what his routine is. He does an exercise with the idea of the length of his round.
Okay.
So he does it for time. He doesn't even think about reps typically.
Yep.
And he'll do whole iron boot routines, and other guys will too. I've heard lots of different configurations of these routine setups for the MMA guys. But essentially it comes down to they're doing lots and lots of iron boot work that's different. And, you know, a seated leg curl, a lying leg curl versus a standing leg curl versus a leg curl that you do in the up position in a dip bar station versus the leg curl that you do hanging from a chin-up bar, which ends up being a full-body exercise, you know, grip all the way down to your feet. Those are all very different exercises. You can call them leg curls, but they are variations on a leg curl. Now you ask, do you do it as an iso leg curl or do you do it connected? Are you going – let's say you're really wanting to work your grip. So you do iso leg curls, iso stomach crunches, and then iso leg extensions hanging where you know how you'll see a gymnast raise both legs straight out in front of them? Try – raising both legs straight out in front of you and then bending at the knees to do your leg extensions. This is the kind of thing that you can get into where, you know, and if you never let go of that chin-up bar in the, let's say you're doing, I really like doing 15 rep sets with iron boots and doing just one or two sets. So I might go 15 knee raises, 15 leg curls, 15 leg raises, and then go down. And I haven't let my grip go in that time, but I've done 45 reps. And you can do any of these things as an iso or together, and it becomes a very different exercise. That kind of thing, especially hanging, I'm a big fan of the hanging thing if I'm doing the iron boots at the end of a routine because it decompresses the spine. You know, I'm doing a lot of squatting, pressing, cleans, whatever, stuff that crushes, it's quite literally spine crushing. Okay.
Absolutely.
So at the end of your routine, if you can do something that's going to relax the vertebrae, but also work you out.
We're opening ourselves right up. That's what we want to do.
It's really tremendous. And how would you ever do a routine like that in a gym that only has your standard weight stack leg machines? You can't.
You can't, no.
The other thing that I do point out, because I also have an ankle stability kit that I put together because the second most injured body part for all sports on any level, kids, collegiate, professional, you know, weekend warrior, is ankle injuries. Think about this. If you've got something on the bottom of your foot that's your weight, every exercise you do is an ankle exercise.
Definitely.
It's getting your ankles, especially now, if you're doing something like inner outer thigh work, it's going to work your ankles more. I've got a number of ankle exercises in the course and DVD that's part of the ankle stability kit, most of which I took from old football trainers' manuals. Because football trainers used them regularly. Like, this was a standard piece in a football trainer's, gadget bag.
Yep.
It was just, yeah, of course we have iron boots. That's how you work your ankles. And I've got a bunch of very specific ankle exercises in that booklet video. But the key is that I'll have people say, well, why not just use ankle weights? Ankle weights don't work your ankles.
Right.
It's that simple. Iron boots, even if you're doing a leg extension, you're getting your ankles.
Right.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. The bottom line is this. These things work. I mean, they really work. And it's like you need to give yourself a chance. If you don't have them, I would order a set from Roger. I mean, you got to be able to experiment. But, you think about these TIE fighters, all right? And, all right, just go with the idea that they've got two 10s on the outside, all right? And you're doing step-ups with those things. Can you imagine the power generation you're creating right there? Let alone everything else it's hitting, but let's just go with a step-up. Can you imagine getting kicked by somebody like that?
Well, it's a perfect exercise to illustrate how great the iron boots are, because the leg that does not have the weight on the foot is getting that powerful thrusting triple extension motion. So the weight that's on the opposite foot isn't just working the foot that has the weight on it. It's working the other side of the body too. So you get that power drive behind it, plus you get the eccentric motion of the leg with the boot. I don't know if I said that the right way. But
no, you're right. That's right.
I think you get the idea. It ends up being an entire low body exercise where, in fact, when you really get into this, it ends up being a full body exercise because you're not steadying yourself with anything.
Right.
And like when I do it, I keep my hands in a fighter's position.
Correct. Yep.
Where I'm also having to balance myself, and there's a lot there.
Definitely.
It's a really good illustration of how the iron boot on a single foot can work the whole body.
Not only that, here's the thing too. You remember I was talking about basically kicking the leg out to each side with the boots, all right? Just think about what we can talk about all the other stuff, especially what we just hit on. Think about, there's two girdles on your body, your shoulder girdle and your hip girdle. Just think about doing that one movement, what that's doing and how that's building your hip girdle. Obliques, it's getting your lower back, everything else. You can build.
That's a good point right there, Eric, because, they talk about core training and all that kind of stuff.
I know. Yeah. We say midsection, brother. I hate that word core.
I do too.
I hate it.
I've got that one DVD, the classic core training DVD.
Yep.
Well, it's got half a dozen iron boot exercises in it.
Sure.
Why? Well, if I'm going to cringe and say core, I'm going to really work the core, like actually working it. And this another thing I really want to point out here, because some people might say, well, this is just a commercial for iron boots.
No, it's not.
Well, and I've had people say, well, you like old things, that's why it's good. I say, I like old things that work.
Yeah.
There were lots of old training devices, especially 100 years ago, that were quack medical devices.
Absolutely.
Just because there was an ad that said that a funny-looking light bulb was going to make you stronger doesn't mean that it did.
Right.
And you don't see those things today because they didn't work.
Nope.
With the iron boots, there's a actual financial reason why other companies don't sell it.
Yep.
It's called machines. They would rather sell you a room full of machines at $2,000 a piece than a pair of iron boots. You know, if somebody put together the most every variation they could think of iron boots with a dumbbell rack and every course and collar and plate that I sell related to it, you know, with multiple sets, you wouldn't come up to $2,000.
No.
And that's the price of one leg extension machine. So the barbell companies today, which it aren't necessarily barbell companies, they're machine companies.
Right.
They have a financial reason to get rid of the iron boot, where they say, don't buy iron boots, buy our super expensive Rube Goldberg machine.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, public transportation in Detroit. It basically doesn't exist because General Motors bought the trolley system and shut it down.
Sure.
That's the reason. So, you know, do I love old things? Sometimes. Yeah. If they work, they're really cool. In this case, they work. And
they work.
They rehabbed me.
Yeah.
So I can say, this is good stuff.
I'll tell you something else. I'll give you a little hint of what I do with them too. Anybody that's followed some of the stuff with Dennis with the heavy hands, that was one of the things we used in the big three exercises to cut his weight down. I use iron boots to do that type of workout where I can walk with them and imitate a cross country skier, or if I want to sit there and shadow box, I grab the iron boots and do that. So that's just a little thing if you ever want to try it. It'll really work the meat of your hand pretty hard, and they're pretty damn fun to do, let me tell you. Hey, Raj, we got to wrap up shortly, but this is such – I enjoyed this podcast big time today. This is – I love iron boots. If you had to give somebody one movement – to rehab the knee, what would it be? I mean, can we say one movement? Was there one movement that you thought was more beneficial than the others, or would you have to do like a top three? What would, you know, with us leaving, you know, parting the show shortly, what would you say?
Given the injury that I had, and there, you know, the knee is a complex thing.
Yes, it is.
I would say it would be the standing knee raise with one foot.
Yep.
And the iron boot leg curl.
Yes.
Because
I totally agree.
Yeah, it's the leg extension is necessary.
That's a little hard on the knee when you got to lift that up and lock it.
Yeah, initially, certainly, I couldn't do a leg extension. I could do a standing knee raise. I could do a leg curl. So you've got opposing exercises. So I'd say there'd be two exercises that would be the key to start with.
Definitely.
But, you know, as with any of this stuff, one, I am not a doctor.
I don't play
one on TV even or anything like that.
That's why we got disclaimers on this show.
Well, yeah, but, you know, I have had a number of customers say, hey, I got these things. I've had them since I was a kid. And what those guys, the reason those guys talk to me, because they already have their iron boots from 50 years ago, is because they need to get new straps that are actually good. So they buy the straps from me.
Sure.
Or maybe the bars or collars or whatever. But they bring their iron boot in to their physical therapist and say, what do you think of this? And by and large, a physical therapist goes, oh, my God, what a great idea.
Yeah.
Why are we not using this today? I have this $20,000 machine that goes ping, and I could just be using this thing?
Yep.
Wow. well, you know, why is it like this? Well, cause somebody yep. wanted to sell you a $20,000 machine that goes ping.
Yeah.
It's and it's the medical community that has, you know, blown up with unnecessarily expensive Rube Goldberg machines.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which, you know, obviously some of them have their use, but mm-hmm. a $20,000 computer-operated leg extension machine when all you need is a pair of iron boots, it's a whole different political topic, but I think you see where I'm going with this.
Totally.
So,
as my great college professor Frank Klein used to drum into our marketing when we had marketing and many other business courses with him, he used to always say it's the KISS theory. Keep it simple, stupid.
Yep.
And he used to pound that into our head. Well, look, this was by far, I don't know, we've done some good ones, but I love iron boots.
Is it actually already time to be done here? I think it is.
Yeah, we're at an hour right
wow.
now. But I'll tell you what I want you to do. Obviously, if you got the pictures of Pudgy Stockton
yep.
or anything you're doing with them, please send them to me. I'd like to get those up on the blog in the next few days when we post this podcast. But in the meantime, Raj, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you. You know the ending.
Sure.
So lay it on us.
Yep. AtomicAthletic.com. And that's AtomicAthletic, exactly how it sounds. With the iron boots on the categories on the left, there is actually an iron boot category. I created it because it seemed to make sense. Right
mm-hmm.
there, heading, product catalog, yep. third one down, iron boots. And you can check out the blog. You can get to the blog from the upper right. There's some white letters on the upper right, and right in the middle it says blog. And then on the lower left, you can sign up for the Atomic Athletic Bombproof Bulletin email newsletter, which is free, folks.
And it's real good. It's got a wealth of information in it. You know who we are. We're Motivation and Muscle. We're the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn. We're brought to you by and sponsored by Fiorella Barbell Company, which is www.fiorellabarbellco.com. We're on Facebook, Fiorella Barbell. We are on Twitter at Fiorello Eric. We are on Stitcher and iTunes. So I'll say it as I always do. Roger and I are heard all over the world. We've got a bunch of stuff in the process of being worked on. We're going to have a new website for Motivation Muscle and a new website for The Weight Loss Is Over Fast, which is being worked on right now, and we hope to have that up very shortly. Just to let you know, we've only been doing this for about 11 weeks now, and I'm pleased to say we're over 5,000 downloads, and I thank you, Roger, for that because you've been a big part of that, and
well,
you've helped
Eric.
Me out with that. And I think that's going to be it. We are going to try to do a three-way show on Thursday with Coach Rob Regish if we can all line it up. That's very exciting because we're going to come out with a new show, which is pretty good. And we're going to be doing some other stuff, especially on the kids' end, towards the end of the year. So Fiorella Barbell Company is moving, let me tell you. There's a lot of motivation here. I guess that's it, Rod. You set? You got everything?
Yep.
Have you said? Okay.
Oh, yeah. You know, iron boots, yep. dumbbells for your feet. I think that says it all.
Absolutely. And, you know, like we said, you know, it's not an infomercial for Atomic Athletic. These things work. I've been using them for years. Roger has. And that's one thing I like about Roger's philosophy and his company. To me, Roger is kind of like an extension of the old York barbell. And I'm not talking now. I mean, they still got some stuff, but he's more of the Bob Hoffman era, and I'm glad he's around, and I hope he's around for another 100 years. So,
thanks, Eric.
Raj, thanks for being on the show. I greatly appreciate it. And we'll talk to you, I hope, Thursday. We're going to do the three-way show, so you'll get to hear Roger again. So for Roger LaPointe, this is Eric Fiorello. I want to thank you all for listening to Motivation and Muscle. And I've been getting some great comments, and we've helped a lot of people, and I couldn't be happier. That's why we're here. So we'll talk to you. If we don't talk to you Thursday, Roger and I will be on next week. You have a great day and a great week. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.